JC Corcoran Podcast.
A special weekend for Bob Uecker. How many years in the booth now?
Actually, 30 here in Milwaukee. I spent a couple in Atlanta following my days as a... I don't know if they call me a player there or not, but whatever I was there. I did work a couple of years with Milo Hamilton and Ernie Johnson before coming here to Milwaukee in 1971. So, yeah, it's been a while.
You know, now when you travel to St. Louis, how does the town seem different from your days playing back in St. Louis? I guess you were still around for the tail end of Gaslight Square and the Playboy Club and the Chase Park Plaza?
Yeah, all that stuff was there. Matter of fact, I thought Gaslight Square was a bunch of filling stations. The ballpark, of course, has changed dramatically from old Busch Stadium, but the city of St. Louis is one of my favorite places. I don't know if there's a better baseball town in all of the country than St. Louis, and the fans and everything that that happens there is big league. I mean, the Arch. I've taken a ride in the Arch a couple of times. One of these times, I want to go inside and ride it. I do it from outside, where it's a little tougher and a little scarier. But it's hot. That metal gets hot. You can't put your hands on it. You got to wear gloves when you climb that thing. And but it's a kick. It's a lot of fun. It takes a day and a half to do it, but it's a lot of fun.
I'm assuming you have mixed emotions about the passing of this ballpark. And we heard stories. We were taking a tour yesterday. They told us they've seen skunks underneath the place.
Well, those were put here. We work here with the zoo, and one of our sponsors, as a matter of fact, every time somebody throws a wild pitch, they contribute $250 to the zoo. They furnish meat to the zoo to the animals. I don't know what kind of meat camels eat, but that's what one of our sponsors does. But yeah, we have all kinds of animals. As a matter of fact, the Discovery Channel comes in here and films once a month to find out what's underneath here. And we've seen a lot of stuff under here that's still unidentified. But I'm not sorry to get out of here. I mean, this has been a great old ballpark, but I can't wait to get to Miller Park. This place has. Is seen its best days, I can guarantee you that.
Did you ask for anything special in the broadcast booth? They can customize, you know, the place for you.
Well, we have a very nice booth over there, and it's unfortunately not facing the field. It actually faces this ballpark, and which is going to make calling a game kind of tough. But having been, you know, into these adverse situations before, I think I can, I'll come through with something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bob, with over 100 appearances on The Tonight Show, does one stick out in your mind?
You know, not really. I had such a good time on The Tonight Show going all the way back to New York when I first started doing the shows in 1969. The one thing about The Tonight Show, the staff, Johnny Carson was probably... as good a straight man, maybe the best in the business. He wanted to make you good. I mean, if you were, so to speak, one of the guys. I mean, I did the show maybe three or four times a month sometimes, and he liked to have a good time. He didn't know a lot about baseball, but as it got on, we had a lot of fun, and most of the time, the majority of the time, it was unscripted. I mean, he... as a matter of fact, one time, I think we were still in New York, or the show was in New York, and I was doing a show up there, and he asked me if I needed these questions and answers that they, questions that he had, do you need these? And I said, I don't need that stuff. I said, he said, well, I don't either. And from then on, it was pretty much ad lib. And the staff, everybody on that show, you know, Ed McMahon, who I still see from time to time, Doc Severinsen comes into Milwaukee and conducts the Milwaukee Symphony. You know, I still see those people. I don't see Johnny. I haven't seen Johnny in quite a while, but I had some of the best times of my life on that show.
You know, when I work with my partner, Karen, here, I see her every day, but when we travel together, that's when I think you really find out the truth about somebody. Now, you worked with our pal Bob Costas on the road for many years. Tell me something about Bob that the average person, even people like us, wouldn't know from not having traveled with him.
Well, the one thing about Costas is that once he gets... I can't tell you that. The other thing is, when we're on the road and we're in our room, maybe I better not tell you that either. One time we were in a car. We were in the back seat of a car. We were going from Nah. Yeah. I better not. Yeah, nah. No, that's no. I don't think anything I know about him. Everything I know about him, I can't tell you. Sorry.
Now, I know you had your own clothing line in the mid '80s. Are you wearing anything from that line tonight?
No, I'm not. What I am wearing from that line, I can't show you. It's kind of in shreds now, but you know, when you have something like that, you get a clothing line, you hate to give it up, and you don't, you know, the stuff, you try to keep it as long as you possibly can. So most of the undergarments have been hand washed, and you get them out in the wind to dry a little bit. They get a little shredded sometimes, but the elastic's still good in them.
You know, you're in great shape, Bob. I hope you don't take this the wrong way. We were watching you from behind. I hope my ass is as small and as tight as yours is when I'm your age.
I have a valve back here that I can let out or blow up, and you're welcome to blow it up if you want anytime. Just, you know, jump on, man.
Bob Uecker, it's great to see you. Congratulations on 44 years in baseball, 30 in the booth. Great to talk to you.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you later on. Thanks.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
It is Thursday, the 13th of May, 2021, and hi there. I'm your congenial host, J.C. Corcoran. You probably already figured that out, though. For a long time, I wondered who Todd Rundgren was going to have to blow to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he's finally in. You know, I've been beating on this drum. I've been banging on the drum for a very, very long time, and finally, yesterday, he gets in. This is going to be an interesting class here. You got Tina Turner. I think everybody likes her. Foo Fighters, everybody likes them. Carole King. I'm going to tell you something about the Tapestry album. I got into a long conversation once with a bunch of the guys at the radio station. When I say the radio station, I'm talking about Casey. And it turned out that an awful lot of the guys there were right along with me saying that Tapestry is one of the best albums they've ever heard. You wouldn't expect that from that bunch of guys. But in a rare moment of honesty, there it was. Everybody basically saying that is one of the greatest albums ever made. Also, the Go-Go's are in. I had an opportunity to hang with the Go-Go's. Well, actually, that's a lie. It was 1/4 of the Go-Go's. It was when Belinda Carlisle was doing her solo career and doing songs like Heaven on Earth, and I can't remember the other ones, but she came into the Fox Theater, and I got a chance to interview her backstage before her show, and she was nice. It's probably, you know, 88, something like that. There was a player for the L.A. Dodgers, Mike Marshall. She had been living with him for a while, and they had just broken up, and I think she was sort of sad about that. You know, when you're on the road and you're in the middle of a breakup, it just makes everything worse. Jay-Z is going in because, of course, it is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. LL Cool J, Randy Rhoads, but that one, that Todd Rundgren one, we've been waiting for that for a long, long time. He should have been in 30 years ago. Better late than never. The ceremony happens on October 30th in Cleveland. All right, the big story yesterday in entertainment was Ellen is going to shut the place down. In doing so, she said that all of the charges against her and against her toxic workplace had nothing to do with the decision. Now, be really, really quiet here for a minute. Listen. Can you hear that? That is the collective world screaming bullshit all at the same time. First of all, her ratings have fallen by half. By half. After all these charges, because you can't do that. You can't come off as the queen of nice and then have it turn out that you are the most polar opposite from the queen of nice when nobody's watching. And if you're saying to yourself, well, what are they're just charges, nothing's been proven. As most of you, I think, know, I have some friends who are writers in the entertainment business in both New York and LA. And all of these men and women, they all know one another. They all know one another. And I have been told that the story about how creepy Ellen is to her staff and her writers and stuff like that has been common knowledge amongst the writing community in Hollywood and New York for a very, very long time. Everybody in the business knows about it. Forbes has put out the list of the 10 highest paid athletes in the world. Conor McGregor, number one. There are no players from America's biggest sports like the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, or Major League Baseball. None of them made the top three. Conor McGregor, Lionel Messi, also soccer. Cristiano Ronaldo, soccer, third place. First mention of anybody from American sports is Dak Prescott from the NFL, from the Dallas Cowboys. LeBron James, Roger Federer is 7, Tom Brady is 9, Kevin Durant is 10th. The NFL schedule released yesterday. Tom Brady and the Bucks visit the New England Patriots on October 3rd. A lot of these stadiums are going to be doing full capacity. Late night tonight, Keegan-Michael Key on with Jimmy Fallon, Chris Rock on with Kimmel, Seth Rogen is on with Stephen Colbert. Anthony Mackie pops up with Seth Meyers, and Andy Cohen is doing Conan Show. Birthdays today, Lena Dunham, 35 today, somewhere I'm sure she's naked. Darius Rucker, Hootie and the Blowfish, 55. Colbert, Stephen, as he's listed in the phone book, is 57. Dennis Rodman, 60. Stevie Wonder, 71. And Harvey Keitel, one of our finest actors, is 82. Speaking of interviewing people at an inopportune time, and I was just talking about that a moment ago. It was 36 years ago today, 85, Bruce Springsteen married Julianne Phillips. She was in that TV show Sisters, and then she was in one of Blake Edwards' final movies. Blake Edwards, the guy who did all the Pink Panther movies, but he also did other films too, and he did a movie with John Ritter called Skin Deep. Skin Deep. The movie was not very good, but there was one very, very funny scene where John Ritter was wearing one of those glow-in-the-dark condoms, and then the screen goes to black, and all you see is the condom. Pretty damn funny scene. But I got a chance to interview her, and this was right after all of this happened, right after the breakup with Springsteen, because they divorced 4 years later. So this would have been 1989 when this movie Skin Deep came out. And, you know, she was actually very forthcoming about it. She said, look, people are going to say what they're going to say. I don't care. And did I mention she was beautiful? Because she was very, very pretty. 27 years ago today, 1994, Johnny Carson made his final TV appearance. And if you're saying, oh, yeah, I remember that very last episode of The Tonight Show. No, that wasn't it. His final appearance of his life on television was The Late Show with David Letterman. Dave was doing the show in Los Angeles for a week. Johnny showed up with the top 10 list. Actually, Dave got up from the chair. Johnny went down, sat down at the desk, and looked like he was going to say something. He just shook his head no and got up and walked off. And that was it. Frasier, final episode, aired on the state 17 years ago. And we out of gas. I'm down here in Florida right now. I'm going to a wedding in southern Georgia this weekend. So we're down here in the Tampa area right now. And there ain't no gas. Florida, one of the states in the southeast, served by that nutty pipeline that got shut down because of the cybersecurity hack a couple of days ago. Going to a 7-Eleven on the way back from picking my daughter up from school. There's signs all over the place that say no gas. But I had to go back out a couple of minutes later, and when I did, I saw the tanker in the parking lot of that 7-Eleven. So I figured, all right, I'll wait, come back in about an hour. Sure enough, there was gas there. Although I've been told you should not pump gas from a gas station where the tanker has just been. Because what it does is the thrust of all of the new gasoline going into the underground tank raises all the sediment. And apparently there is stuff like, I don't know if it's rust or whatever it is, but there's just going to be naturally sediment forming the bottom of any sort of metal tank, I guess. And I don't know if that's true or not, but yesterday I couldn't afford to do that because I was sitting on about a quarter tank. And it's like, look, if I'm going to get anywhere in the next couple of days, I got to fill up. Unfortunately, we're seeing videos. And if you saw this, I posted it on my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Videos of two separate women. Maybe you've already seen them. The one has a plastic container, like something you would buy at Home Depot or something, to store sweaters in the garage during the off season. And she's filling that up with gas. And then the other one, and I can tell you this, if you haven't seen it, you'll say, you're lying. Nobody did that. The video is there. She's got like Schnucks plastic shopping bags. And she's filling those with gas. And the funny part is she fills it up, manages to balance it sort of on the concrete right next to the pump, and then goes in the car and gets another bag. And so she double bags it. Like, hey, What do you think? I would fill up one bag with gasoline? Safety first, schmuck. I'm double bagging here. But, you know, this is one of those things that really aggravates me about this country. You know, let's just say 9/11. Okay, after 9/11, we want to make sure nothing like this ever happens again. So we get into all of this safety stuff. We got to take our shoes off going on the airplanes because they're blowing up airplanes. You know, you got to go through all this security stuff. Why? Because we never want anything like this to happen again. But every time there's some sort of world, sort of global hiccup, we end up with gas shortages and price hikes for the gasoline. Every single time. Honey, did you see gas just went up 20 cents? Oh, yeah, because somebody in Iraq threw a bottle at somebody from Iran. It's making the gas prices go up. Right, now, this is the place of the podcast where I usually say, and now this, and you hear some sort of disjunct thing from the archives. Unfortunately, this one requires some setup. And let me tell you how this works. After the baseball game, and you've already turned the radio off, and you're watching TV or going to bed or whatever the case may be, after the baseball game, the announcers have to sit in the broadcast booth and prepare a report that gets fed to all of the radio stations on the Cardinals radio network. That 45-second report is then sent to all of those stations overnight. In the morning, the guy picks it up, and they say, hey, the Cardinals played last night. Here with the report. Here's Mike Shannon. And in a report that was recorded after the ball game the night before, you hear Mike Shannon say, well, the Cardinals had a good game last night. Big hit from Nolan Arenado. And you hear the report, and you're like, oh, the Cardinals, so they won the game last night. Well, that's good. Now we want to take you back to the 1990s, and it was Jack Buck in the broadcast booth. The crowd is all gone. The place is empty. And the cleanup crew, you know, these men and women who have to come into the stadium after everybody is out and clean up your popcorn boxes and your soda and your beer cups and bags of trash. And they use giant blowers, like leaf blowers, to blow this stuff into big piles. And then somebody else comes along and scoops it up, and the ballpark looks beautiful and pristine when you show up the next night. Unfortunately, the guy with the blower was right under the broadcast booth where Jack Buck was trying to record that report that I was just telling you about. And here's how it sounded.
Cardinals won it 3-1. And tonight they'll bat against their former teammate Ken Hill and pitch Bob Tewksbury in the rubber game. 3-1, the Cardinals won it last night. Gee, isn't that a crime? Isn't that a shame of that f***ing thing, man, and the f***ing noise? Tell them to turn the f***ing thing off, yeah?
Yeah, we tried that.
Yeah. F***ing thing, same f***ing thing.
This is 45 for Wednesday morning. 3-2-1. Well, they're going down like popcorn. Jose Oquendo on the disabled list. Andres Galarraga last night was struck by a pitch while batting, and he broke a bone in his right wrist. He's on the disabled list. And the Cardinals, of course, have already lost Alejandro Pena. And now they have disabled Felix Jose because of that hamstring injury. And they have called up Brian... What? Why?
Alejandro Pena.
Geronimo, okay, this is a f***ing Wednesday morning.
It sure is. Summer officially starts on June 20th this year, but according to a new survey, the majority of people say summer really starts when the temperature hits over 75 degrees outside. A survey found 2/3 of single people would dump somebody if their pet didn't like them. And we trust our pet's opinion over everybody else's, including our friends, family, and even our own. According to the poll, the best ways to make somebody's pet like you, by the way, are be friendly, scratch them behind the ear, and give them treats. The same thing works, by the way, if you encounter Carl the intern. People on Reddit are sharing their worst job interview stories, and one guy says he was in a job interview when, quote, the HR lady farted. It was a small office with no windows. The fart stayed during the duration of the interview. I hope the fart got the job because I didn't want it, end quote. A few of the other terrible job interview stories are, a woman said, I wanted to work at H&M. The question was, what is your favorite color and why? I said baby blue because it's calming and not too harsh. The interviewer said, sorry, red is the answer we're looking for, and she showed me the exit. End quote. No shortage of dumb ideas in the state of Florida. 28-year-old Florida woman went to a high school on Monday posing as a student to try to get more Instagram followers. She wound up getting arrested for trespassing. You don't go around a school anymore without having a designated specific purpose. They don't laugh at this stuff anymore. If you're thinking about traveling for Memorial Day coming up in a couple of weeks, there's going to be about 60% more people traveling for the Memorial Day holiday compared to last year, according to AAA. But that's still about 6 million people fewer than before the pandemic. Welcome to Canada. Mounties in a rural area in Saskatchewan were investigating who stole a bunch of lumber. It had turned out to be a group of beavers building a dam. And another animal stories, little Tommy. City of Chicago releasing 1,000 feral cats onto the streets to try to stop a massive rat infestation. It's something they've been doing since 2012. Where are they keeping 1,000 feral cats? Oh, back to that story about traveling again. A new road trip survey found the average person can only spend 3 hours and 46 minutes in the car with their family before they go nuts. With friends, it's a little longer, 4 hours and 23 minutes. Google just revealed the questions people have searched for the most in the past 15 years. Number one, what time is it? Number two, how to tie a tie? Number three, how to kiss? Number four, where am I? And number five, how many ounces in a cup? A woman just posted a TikTok video about how she got revenge on her ex-boyfriend's mistress. The guy went to jail and the mistress didn't know. So the woman staged a fake funeral for the guy to convince the mistress he was dead. And now, 3 years later, the mistress still posts on Facebook about how much she misses him. There's a 49-year-old woman on OnlyFans who's going viral right now thanks to a TikTok video where she shaves her legs with sandpaper. Here's the quote. Oh my God, my skin is so soft. It's awesome. But does this really work or is it just a stunt to get attention? Well, you go ahead and you try it out and you get back to me, okay? Shave your legs with sandpaper. Reminds me of the old Playboy advisor. Remember that guy? There was one page in Playboy magazine where people would write in with sex questions. And this guy by the name of Jim Peterson, and we used to have him on the air all the time. He was this little guy with a beard and glasses, but he was a sex expert, or at least he said he was. And I said, what's the weirdest letter you've ever gotten? He said, that's easy. Somebody said, Dear Playboy Advisor, I masturbate with sandpaper. Do I have a problem? And his answer was, yes, but not for long. Brilliant. A lot of debate over the appearance of Elon Musk on Saturday Night Live last week, and there have been a lot of bad hosts. But then again, they've been on the air for what, 45 years, 40 years, something like that? Well, 1975, so 45 years. Okay, 46. Steven Seagal, 1991, terrible all around, from his first interactions with the writers to almost quitting mid-episode, by the way. Donald Trump in 2015, it was mostly his timing. It was the beginning of the presidential campaign. He had already become controversial. Frank Zappa bombed in 78. He was making funny faces and ad-libbing comments about how fake the show was, and they really did not find that amusing. Milton Berle in 79 clashed with the cast and crew and then went off script on live TV, telling long and offensive jokes. Tom Green, remember him, 2000, he did a lot of his own stuff, which did not suit the show. Nancy Kerrigan in 1994, this was right after the Tonya Harding scandal, and she seemed to just hate being there. Michael Phelps gets credit for being willing to look dopey, but he didn't seem comfortable. It was like he couldn't wait for the whole thing to be over. Paris Hilton, this was back in 2005. Tina Fey once complained that Paris was defiantly disengaged and acted as though everyone should be grateful she was there. Martin Lawrence got himself banned with a long, gross, and sexist routine about the importance of feminine hygiene. Andrew Dice Clay in 1990 came off as tense, defensive, and mean. Chevy Chase in 1997 was relentlessly abusive. He hit Sherry O'Terry in the head during a rehearsal, and a lot of people don't think it was an accident. Lindsay Lohan had hosted before, and she was fine, but this time she was a real mess. She was forced to joke about her own instability and mental health. January Jones wasn't into sketch comedy. She was into Jason Sudeikis, though they ended up dating for, I don't know, a year or two. Ronda Rousey in 2016 said it wasn't her fault. There was a blizzard in New York that week, and the episode was just thrown together. Lance Armstrong was riding high in 2005, but he came off as cocky, and people didn't like it. Rudy Giuliani in 97, Rolling Stone calls it another example of a politician using the show to sell a phony version of himself. And in 1990, George Steinbrenner nixed the writer's best ideas and instead fumbled his way through sketches that spoofed and justified his reputation as a bully. It's like these politicians like Ted Cruz who get into a Twitter war with a professional comedian. That is the worst idea ever. A professional comedian or comedy writer will slice you to ribbons. It's not a good idea to pick a fight with a comedian. It's just a bad idea. And the Wisconsin State Fair is going to return this summer, so at least we know that Smash Mouth and Kelly Pickler will be getting one more paycheck this year. And now we move on to our JC Celebrity A-List interview of the day. NFL released their new schedule yesterday evening. The Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Bucks will kick things off first Thursday night in October. Back in 2002, we were broadcasting live from the Super Bowl in New Orleans, which is where John Goodman lives. Which is where John Goodman has been living since the late 80s. So I had his phone number, and I call him up and go, John, we're going to be broadcasting from the lobby of the Rams Hotel. You know, if you're going to be around, oh, gosh, we'd love you to swing by, blah, 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 you know, whatever. We do the show there for the entire week. No John Goodman, no return phone calls, no nothing. In the final hour of the last day we're broadcasting, the Friday before the Super Bowl, we're sitting there in the lobby doing the show, and off to the side, coming down a hallway, I see this entire posse of guys being led by John Goodman and all of his St. Louis friends who went down there to see him and to see the game. If you think John Goodman is a good actor, sometimes I say to myself, maybe he should have been a stand-up comedian. John Goodman today from 2002 in New Orleans, our JC Celebrity A-List interview of the day.
He just wanders in. No phone call, no nothing. I got a cell phone. I got voicemail, all this kind of stuff. He just walks in off the street. How are you doing, man?
I'm great. Up this morning waiting for these gentlemen to come in from St. Louis and accommodate them. And so I thought we'd wander over and say
hello. You do have a posse with you this morning, Goodman.
That's my posse, and it's Mr. Goodman.
You know, Karen Kelly and Brian McKenna, of course.
Hi, guys.
You moved down here how long ago?
6 years.
6 years ago. You had your wedding on a boat down here, didn't you?
They had reception on the boat, try to keep the choir people off.
Tell everybody what they did. The stories that you hear about the tabloids trying to break in and invade people's privacy on what, you know, arguably is the most important day of your life. They tried all kinds of stuff.
They hired hookers to infiltrate the bachelor party.
And, wait a minute. Wait,
and the guy that, I won't mention the newspaper, the guy that hired him didn't pay him, so they ratted him out. When I christened my daughter, they sent some guy to sneak a camera in and try to, oh, wham, wham.
John, where do they find a hooker in New Orleans?
I don't know.
Yeah. What is it, what are the things about living down here that you're really enamored with?
Well, obviously the food.
Yeah. Well, when you were growing up in Afton, the Big Red was playing, and, you know, it's not a secret that you didn't come from a family that had a ton of money. Did you ever get to go to any of the Big Red football games?
My brother used to take me, when I was in high school, we'd go... 67-68 season, we'd go every week and hang out. Yeah, I had a pretty good time. It didn't cost a fortune then, though.
Most of the time you play good guys. You did a movie with Denzel Washington, and I think the statute of limitations has run out on us. The movie's 5 years old. You ended up playing the bad guy.
Well, at the end, the devil or whatever the hell it was, the little Satan guy got into him, and he possessed, and I got to kill Donald Sutherland, which a lot of the crew members wanted to do. I like Donald Sutherland. I thought he was a great guy, but I guess he rubbed people the wrong way. But, and then the little devil hopped into me, and I turned mean and tried to kill Denzel, and he fooled me.
Then you did a movie that a lot of people didn't see called The Borrowers, where you were doing that blue screen stuff. You had to work with like little Thumbelina type characters.
I was used to that from drinking a lot anyway. They blue screen little people, and it's actually a pretty good movie.
You were a walk on at Southwest Missouri State.
No, I tried to walk on, and I was ineligible. I mean, they probably would have taken me.
Why? You were,
I was a warm body. I tried to get on. I was ineligible, and by the time I would have been eligible, I got into acting, and there were more girls in the drama department than there were in the football team. So I've heard.
I actually saw John one day. This was a while back, jogging down Gravoy.
Oh, that must have been a while back, my friend.
It was.
Nobody has a memory that long.
No, I recall that.
Okay, so where are you going to be for Super Bowl Sunday?
In front of my television.
You're not going to the game?
Nah, too many drunks with cameras.
Come here. Take a picture. You won't kiss my wife. You think you're better than me?
Okay, let's talk a little football here. How do you like this matchup on Sunday?
Boy, that's a hell of a point spread. But I guess those odds makers know what they're doing. And, I don't know. It's New England, surprising. That side of that, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Yeah, this is the old Duffer Les Carmichael. Hi, sports fans.
McKenna?
Well, I just want to ask him this because we see the Rams players getting hounded throughout the hotel. And that happens to you 24/7. You seem to have a pretty good grasp on how to deal with it.
Yeah, I got a small army of security people that keep my children away from me. you just keep moving. And
how many people buy you drinks?
You can't let them buy you a drink or they own you. I bought you a beer. Now get over here and tap dance. And wear this here pickle hat on your head.
There's something about your approachability. I think that's what it is. You don't go around acting like
drinkability.
Well, no, you don't go around acting Hollywood. You don't dress Hollywood. You don't do any of that stuff. And so people, I just think, they think they can just come up to you because you're John Goodman.
I'm gonna go get me a beret and a cigarette holder.
Did you run into Dan Patrick?
I did, and I was by that time I was just fast asleep, and unfortunately I didn't blow him off or anything. I just didn't have a whole lot to say, but I was actually sleeping backstage. I was so tired. And since I've been on a diet, I don't have any excuse for it. I'm just old and fat.
One of the funniest segments ever put on the air by the old show. And with that, we say it's the end to another J.C. Corcoran podcast here at jcontheline.com. Please do your best to spread the word. We need all the help we can get. We don't have any big advertising budget or anything like that for the podcast, so we're really relying on word of mouth to get the word out there. We publish every weekday morning at 7 a.m. You can listen whenever you want, and we'll be back tomorrow bright and early with the J.C. Corcoran podcast here at jcontheline.com. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
J.C. Corcoran Podcast.